this world, there is real evil. In the darkest shadows and in the most ordinary places. These are the true stories of the innocent and the unimaginable. Jamie and Ben Shea find the perfect place to raise their children. But eerie sounds and ghostly voices puncture the quiet country night. An unseen menace lies in wait, intent on destroying their family and shattering their lives. Between the world we see and the things we fear, there are doors. When they are opened, nightmares become reality. The Ozark River Valley once stood as the gateway to the West, the last outpost of civilization before the frontier beyond. But nestled amid this lush countryside lies a different kind of portal. A crossroads between life and death, where the mortal and the eternal collide. October 2003, Jamie and Ben Shea's search for a larger home leads them to Markham, Arkansas, an hour outside Little Rock.
It's got some character to it, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. Well, it's so historic.
It was just absolutely beautiful. It had big, old trees all around it. And it was just the picture of the house I've been looking for all my life.
Ben can already picture raising his three children there.
I knew that my kids could run out there and, you know, just have a good time. I grew up that way, me running out and playing in the woods, and I definitely wanted that for my kids.
Did the agent give you a key?
The house is a short commute to Arbutus, where Jamie is a legal assistant. Ben is earning his degree while working nights as a nurse at a local factory.
It was in between the two towns where my husband worked and where my husband went to school, so he could spend more time with the kids and not have to be traveling back and forth as much.
Not so bad.
I thought the walls would be peeling or something.
I know. It looks like everything's in pretty good shape.
There was a lot of room. I could totally see how the kids would have plenty of room to play. I knew as soon as I saw it that we had to have that house.
We need to make an offer on the place before anybody else sees it.
Maybe we should look at the rest of the house first.
Okay. Wow, this is great.
The ceilings don't have any water spots. The roof must be in great shape.
It's almost too good to be true.
I'll say.
Oh my God, what is this?
I wouldn't worry about it.
The fireplace had all kinds of markings on it, like the name of this boy that had died, pentagrams.
It takes a lot to kind of spook me, so I was just like, oh, some teenager, you know, lived here before.
The Shays remain enthusiastic about the house.
Looks like a nice fireplace. Shouldn't be boarded up anyway.
You think it still works?
We decided right away the first thing that we would do was get rid of that. But other than that, it was just perfect.
Within a few weeks, the family is all settled in.
Wow! It's beautiful! Did you pick out those colors, Bridger?
Yes.
The couple's three children, 8-month-old Jackson, 5-year-old Bridger, and 11-year-old Tori, are delighted by their new surroundings.
Oh! Oh,
again? Did you get this many phone calls when you were her age?
I am just glad that she's adjusting to her new school well. Give me one more.
The Shays quickly fall into a busy routine.
You guys need to hurry up because it's time to get to the bus, okay?
Jamie hires an experienced sitter to watch the baby during the day.
Hi.
Hey.
Ben, this is Molly. Molly's going to be here with Jackson until I get home, okay?
Sounds terrific.
Ben works all night, so he'll be asleep.
Till about 2, and then I'm off to class. Bye.
Get some sleep, okay? Okay, call me if you need anything. Everything's gonna be great. Mm-hmm. Bye,
Molly, can you please get the baby? Molly, are you here? Molly, are you here?
And I knew for a fact I wasn't dreaming. There was a baby crying out on the monitor, and there was nobody home. It was a very creepy moment.
Unsure what to make of it, Ben keeps the strange incident to himself. A few nights later, Ben trudges off to work, reminding himself that graduation is only a few months away.
Richard, what are you doing up?
I'm scared. People are talking in my room.
Who's talking? Tori?
No, it's not Tori.
It was just a bad dream, Bridger. Now go to sleep.
My first thought was, did I leave the television on in the living room? I did a little quick listen, and it was completely silent.
Later that night, around 3 a.m.,
Bridger, where are you hiding? Okay, if you're not gonna come out, then at least quit messing with your toys and go back to bed.
none of the Shays mention their individual experiences. For the next few weeks, time passes uneventfully. Despite the demands of his hectic schedule, Ben spends time with Bridger before leaving for work.
And the old gray octopus swam back into his dark watery cave at the bottom of the sea and never, ever came back out again. The end.
Read it again.
It's getting late, kiddo. Give me a kiss.
I love you.
I love you too. Get in bed.
Ben hopes that after he earns his degree, he can work normal hours and spend more time with his family.
Mommy!
Are you saying goodnight to Daddy before he leaves?
I gotta go to work, buddy.
I wish you didn't have to go.
Me too.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Good night.
With all the kids in bed for the night, Jamie takes advantage of the quiet.
Tori, is that you? Bridger, Tori, get back to bed.
I kept hearing my kids running up and down the stairs.
Get back in bed.
The door was wide open. It didn't slam. I thought it was pretty creepy. All three of the kids were sleeping, and I was the only one in the house besides the kids.
That weekend, the eerie occurrences nag at Jamie until she can ignore them no longer.
Holly told me the weirdest story today. She said that she heard crying in the baby monitor, and when she went upstairs to check on Jackson, he was asleep. She said it looked like he hadn't even been crying.
The other day, I heard crying on that thing. Jackson wasn't even home. Somebody's up.
Well, it sounds like it's from down here.
It's gotta be Bridger. I'll take care of this.
It sounded like a ball bouncing.
I went to check on the kids and yell at them for being up so late and messing around. And, you know, of course, everybody's sleeping.
Well?
They're all asleep. You know, these old houses, they make all kinds of noises that you can't explain.
It's getting late. I'm going to bed. You coming?
I'll be there in a second.
All the strange occurrences suddenly make sense.
At that moment, I did start to get the feeling that we were living in a haunted house.
Jamie visits the local library, hoping to learn more about ghosts and hauntings.
I'll finish this up for you.
Okay. Brenda will finish helping you.
I can't help noticing what kind of books you're checking out here. Are you interested in learning about ghosts?
Yes.
I grew up in a house that was haunted.
Was it around here?
721 Franklin.
Jamie is astonished. It's the house where her family now lives.
She's haunted by the ghost of a little boy.
She started telling me about a boy that had fallen out of the window and died. And he had fallen out of the room that was Bridger's room, where he had been hearing the voices and the people talking. I felt the color just rush out of my face. Everything makes sense now. All the little things that had happened that I thought, you know, someone's trying to play with us.
Did you ever feel afraid? I mean, did this ghost ever hurt anyone?
I just think he was looking for attention, you know? Poor little guy. You let me know if these help you.
Okay.
As the holiday season arrives, the activity quiets down around the house.
Man, I felt like someone was standing right behind me.
Put in the paperwork. Let me grab that. Okay. First aid.
Oh, man, thank God you answered.
Jamie, what's wrong?
I felt like I was being watched, and then suddenly I looked up and I saw him on my computer screen.
You saw who?
Then I didn't get a good look at who it was.
Right, but what happened?
It was evil.
I'll try to come home early, I promise.
It was very frustrating. And not being able to be there, I felt totally trapped.
That was probably the first time that I felt threatened. I didn't feel like it was a little boy playing games with us. I knew that this was something different.
Although days pass without incident, the dark presence continues to weigh on Jamie's mind.
Aren't you forgetting something?
My briefcase.
Hey, don't forget to pick up Tori after school. She's over at Megan's.
I forgot.
I really had a real just eerie kind of sick feeling in my stomach. I really dreaded going home. It was starting to not feel like a home anymore.
He
You enjoying working on that group project you and Megan are working on?
Yeah, I'm finishing it now. It'd be great if you didn't hit all the bumps.
Sorry, honey. There's road construction. Thought we'd have some pause tonight. How does that sound?
When I got out, Tori was under the minivan, pinned face down with the weight of the entire minivan on her, and I thought, she's not gonna make it through this.
How is she?
They think her back will be broken.
Oh my God.
They didn't know exactly to what extent she had a broken back. And so we were obviously concerned about whether she could ever walk again. It terrified me to not know.
We believe Tori may have compression fractures to several of the vertebrae.
I thought back about the events of the day and feeling like I was being watched and that whole feeling that I had before we had the wreck. I started to wonder if there was some kind of connection.
I just have to wait. Thank you.
2 weeks after the accident, the hospital releases Tori, just in time for Christmas. Although her doctor expects her to make a full recovery, Tori will be bedridden for several months.
What are you doing here?
Good. How do you like this?
It's cute. She could not walk without help, so I took a leave of absence from work because she needed pretty much constant care.
You all that? Sure? You okay?
Bridger, that's Tori's scooter.
It's okay. He can ride it.
It was an awful Christmas because we had just bought her a scooter.
Don't worry, you'll be up and around riding on that thing before you know it.
The scooter is kind of you will walk again. You will be able to ride the scooter eventually. You're not paralyzed. Thank the good Lord for that.
Come on, Tori. You heard what the doctor said. You are young and strong. You are going to be up and about in no time.
Weeks pass. Jamie is so focused on Tori that she barely notices any paranormal activity.
I really didn't think of anything else other than I wanted my daughter to be okay.
Bridger, what are you doing up?
People in my room are talking again.
What are they saying?
I can't understand them. The good boys and the bad boys all talk over each other.
What bad boys? Who are the bad boys?
I don't know. Could I sleep with you and Dad?
Okay, you can stay with us tonight. He's sleeping with us tonight. He's hearing voices again. I'm gonna go check on Jackson.
Hey, buddy. You okay? Did you hear something scary?
Jamie's relieved to find Jackson sleeping peacefully, unaffected by the voices that plague Bridger.
Thank you.
foot out, Ben.
What?
Quit flicking my hair.
What are you talking about? I didn't touch your hair. Seriously, I didn't touch it.
To get everybody into the same room, and that way I could protect them in some way.
Little man, we are just gonna sleep right here.
Somebody please just tell me what's going on.
Just a little excitement, that's all.
We have to find somebody who can help us. We cannot live like this.
There was an evil presence in the house that was out to harm us, and it wasn't the boy. It was something else.
And it was starting to show itself more. And I knew we had to do something.
The Shays contact the Central Arkansas Society for Paranormal Research. They arrange to come to the house as soon as Tori is well enough to be moved.
This is ridiculous. I don't understand why I have to go.
I need you to go with the boys and help Molly out. It's only for one night. She's gonna bring you back in the morning, okay?
The team of investigators arrives and sets up for the night.
We need to change these tapes. I don't want to miss
anything. Alan Lowe's goal is to find physical proof to explain the paranormal occurrences. His wife, Angela, and their daughter, Violet, are psychics.
The women in my family have always been very psychic, sensitive, open to the spirit world.
Violet's gift goes beyond sensing.
I'm probably classified better as a medium. I can talk to them, and they can talk to me, and there can be sort of a two-way conversation.
I've done some research on the house, and it verifies what you've heard.
Karen Schillings tries to connect the supernatural events to the house's history. Built in 1780, it once served as a hotel and stagecoach stop, and later as a county jail.
Why would that cause the house to be haunted?
Alan explains that the house's rich past could account for the presence of spirits.
Because it served as a way station of sorts.
We'll walk through the house and see if we can sense any hot spots of spirit activity.
When I got to the top of the stairs, it was a sinking feeling. And it was definitely coming from that direction of the house towards that room.
Alan sets up a video camera where the psychics feel negative energy. Senses a presence. She thinks it wants to make contact, but is too frightened to approach her.
I felt like somebody walked in the room.
Don't be afraid.
I mean, he was human, but he didn't look like he was really standing there. He was sort of see-through.
Will you talk to us?
There's something else. Someone else is here.
We felt like he'd been scared away by a very strong negative presence in the house.
It was like a whole sea of people. They weren't happy. They seemed pretty miserable. It felt like they didn't want you there. Like, you shouldn't be in this room. It didn't look human. This presence was something different, and it was really terrifying.
I haven't been afraid of a house or a ghost since I was a young child, but this one scared me.
The psychics tell Jamie and Ben about the little boy and the multitude of human spirits they encountered.
Those are the voices your son has been hearing.
And inform them there is a negative presence in the house.
We don't know what it is, but with your permission...
Angela hopes to communicate with it in order to learn more.
One of the paranormal team people suggested that we find out more details about the spirits by asking them questions through the Ouija board. And I really didn't believe in the whole Ouija board thing.
Skeptical because a Ouija board can be easily manipulated, Ben handles the planchette.
Me and one of the paranormal team guys did the Ouija board while other people were asking questions.
What is your name?
The dark spirit, and learn it calls itself Seth.
When were you alive?
Not a physical person who had died. This was a demon who had never lived.
To know that you've actually been in the same house with some sort of demonic presence and knowing that it could do harm, it definitely scares you.
The planchette's erratic movement indicates Seth is extremely powerful.
Have we seen... pointing to the camera.
When I saw the figure on the video screen, I knew right away that it was the same figure that was looking down on us the day that we had the car accident. And I got that same sick feeling in my stomach.
Can you think of any fortune-telling, conjuring, devil-worshipping that might have summoned a demon?
Not us, but when we first moved in here, we found pentagrams and candles in the bedroom.
We thought it was just a bunch of kids messing around.
They might have opened a door they shouldn't have.
A door?
A portal to the other side.
Show yourself to us. Unleash your power.
Whether it was those kids or someone else, evil had been invited into that house.
Angela fears for the family's safety
The spirit was so negative and so evil and so aggressive that the possibility of the family being in danger was very real if something wasn't done.
She recommends a ritual cleansing to clear the house of the evil spirit.
The planchette just started going crazy, almost like in a figure eight, just around in circles as fast as it could go. It was really, really scary.
Using a Native American tradition, they burn sage to bless the house.
The sage is used to cleanse areas of negativity so that you can see clearly into the spirit world. And in our prayers, while we're doing the cleansing, we ask the Heavenly Father to protect this family and fill the home with white light and rid it of any negativity.
Let no evil come in. Let no evil torment this family. Protect this household. Let no evil come in. Let no evil torment this family. Protect Jackson. Protect Bridger. Protect Tori. Protect Ben. Protect Jamie. Protect this family. Protect this household. Let no evil come in.
There was heaviness against our chest, like we were being pushed back. He was trying to literally push us out of the house.
Angela and Violet continue their struggle to rid the Shea House of an evil entity that calls itself Seth.
It was pretty clear to me that it was resisting so strongly. The air was getting thicker and thicker, and it felt like something might grab you at any moment.
Protect this family! Protect this household! Let no evil come in! Let no evil come in! Protect Jackson!
Create a circle of salt that will guard the house from Seth's return.
Well, you draw a line around the house to protect it from evil. When we finished the cleansing, the entire atmosphere had changed.
Although the house has been cleansed, the human spirits will remain.
Can you feel it?
I immediately felt a sense of peace in the air. I felt that the sense of evil had been lifted.
Oh, we appreciate this so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
For the next several months, life for the Shea family returns to normal.
Sure.
Here we go. Well, hello, Sleeping Beauty.
Fortunately, Tori makes a full recovery.
You want some pancakes?
Yes, please. Can I have mine with grape jelly?
You sure can. Nothing but the best for you, sweetie.
Two breaks their back in three places without being paralyzed.
Here we are.
She's definitely a miracle. So we're very, very grateful for that.
Jamie, it's the weekend. Look, I'm glad you're back at work, but can't this wait till Monday?
No, I have a meeting first thing.
Look, I'll take the kids to the fair tomorrow. You can have the whole house to yourself. I've been studying finals all week, and I haven't seen you.
I guess I could take a break. Bridger, are you okay?
Bridger, talk to us.
It wasn't Bridger. It sounded kind of wicked, and it just cut right through me.
Bridger!
Dad, what am I doing down here?
Bridger, you stay here with your dad. I'll be right back.
Okay, buddy.
I could make out two voices. It just kept getting louder and louder and louder.
I was just coming to get you.
When I saw that thing at the end of the hallway, the first thing I thought was, oh no, we're not starting this again.
We're getting out of here!
Although the cleansing forced Seth out, the house remains a portal to the other side.
You okay, little man?
I'm fine, Dad.
You sure?
Where are we going? Go.
Using that doorway, a new demonic presence has emerged to take Seth's place.
It was still haunted, and it was going to stay haunted no matter what we did.
The Shays know that if they stay in the house, dark entities will continue to prey on them. Ben and Jamie immediately put the house on the market and moved to an apartment nearby. A few weeks later, Ben finishes school and the family starts a new life in a new town.
We are a much tighter family outside of that home. We're not dealing with the constant stress of being haunted.
Nice. You taught him well.
I always thought when I was younger that it would be kind of cool to live in a haunted house. I would never want to experience that again.